Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Autism Stories. I'm your host, Doug Bletcher, the founder of Autism Personal Coach. Autistic people are the true experts of the autistic experience. And Autism Stories is where we interview autistic people to learn from their stories, experiences, and get their insights. If you would like to be notified about each week's episode of Autism Stories, we suggest you subscribe on your favorite podcast listening platform. We would also appreciate it if you could give us a positive rating and review, as it will help others to learn about Autism Stories. On today's episode, Alice Hack joins me to discuss her career working in a library, important LGBTQ voices of the past, and learning that she has a famous relative. We hope you enjoy today's conversation. Alice, thanks so much for joining me here on Autism Stories.
Thank you for the opportunity, Doug.
Yeah. I'd like to start off by just learning a little bit about your story. Where does your story in the autistic community begin?
Okay, so I'm from England. I'm 25. So my story began when I was quite young. At the age of 5, I was in elementary school, and one of my teachers had concerns about me being very quiet. I would consistently have meltdowns, would have to go home. My attendance at school was not very good. So they just had some concerns about maybe if I was autistic or not. It wasn't until I was actually 20 that I got my formal diagnosis. So yeah, it's a bit crazy how that happened. But I was at university by this point. I was majoring in creative writing. I've always been quite a creative person. But when I was on campus, just things weren't really clicking for me. I was very quiet and I would find it quite overwhelming. So I made a decision to seek a diagnosis. And I was diagnosed with autism.
From what I understand, you're very passionate about reading works by the LGBTQIA plus community and bringing back voices from the past.
Yes.
What are some of those important voices from the past that have really resonated with you?
So I really like Nancy Garden. She wrote a novel called Annie on My Mind, which came out in the 1980s and features two teenage girls in a relationship with each other, as well as Alice Oseman, a very well-known Netflix series, Heartstopper. I love that series so much. And Ocean Vuong. I love Ocean Vuong's poetry, and I'm always recommending it at work to people. Regarding like voices from the past, I've always been a Jane Austen fan. I'm from Bath, which Jane Austen lived a number of years in the city. So there's a lot of Georgian architecture, and I always feel very inspired by that. Just wandering around and realizing that she was here all hundreds of years ago. It's just amazing to see. But I also like the Laura Ingalls Wilder Little House series. I grew up reading those. And there's a museum not too far away from where I live. It's an American museum, and they had a shop there. And they would have a table of all of these books by classic American authors. And my mum would take me, and we would just look at the table of books. And I would always go for Laura's books because I was just so drawn to them with just the prairie backgrounds on the covers. Yeah, I've always loved classic voices. Working in a library as well, you don't know what kind of queries are going to come in on a daily basis. And I've had so many authors said to me that I personally never heard of. It always just makes me want to find out more about them for myself and then read and recommend them. And when I have the opportunity to contribute to displays at work, I always make sure to pick authors that aren't really that well known. So have a balance as well as big names.
Heartstopper is a great series. I'm waiting for season 3 on Netflix. I don't know when it's coming, but I can't wait.
I saw on TikTok earlier someone's video. They're currently filming Heartstopper at the moment. That's quite exciting. I'm really looking forward to watching it when it comes out.
I'm excited about that bit of news. Thanks, Alice. For a lot of autistic people, it's very helpful to find things that we can be passionate about at a younger age to, I think, give us a foundation for our lives. I'm wondering if there are ways books have done that for you.
So I have a very deep personal relationship with books, and it was because when I was in elementary school, I was actually on a speech therapy program for 2 years to help with my communication. But in all honesty, I had a conversation with my family about it a few months ago, and we all agreed that actually the speech therapy really didn't help. There are still some words and letters I struggle to pronounce. So I can't say my THs very well. So instead of saying the number three, I always say three as in buy one, get one free. So when the speech therapy didn't help, and my family have always been an avid lover of books, we've just had piles of them and shelves everywhere. So it was obvious that I would just feel more drawn to that rather than speaking to somebody in person, face to face. So I feel that the huge majority of my vocabulary and my learning of speech and language over time really has come from reading. And I feel that's what helped me to get my voice as I struggled with selective mutism when I was younger.
I read where you said I was born to be a librarian. So what were some important things that just kind of led you that to that conclusion?
So I have, first of all, I've got a family member who's worked in libraries for years. So I've really learned from them exactly what librarianship is all about. And that's what inspired me to consider this career path. But also, as time has gone on at my library job, I've just felt I can't really describe it, but it's an inner buzz when I'm handling all the stock and customer items. I can't explain it really. It just happens. And I feel awkward trying to tell my colleagues this because they probably think I'm off my head or something. But there was a recent example. I was coming home from work. This was last week. And at my job, I work across three different libraries and they're all located in different towns. So one of the libraries I work at, I have to get there by bus and train each way, which is a little bit of a faff. But I was coming home and I was walking to the train station and I could just feel tears in my eyes. Like they weren't falling down my face or anything. I just felt like this emotional rush, and I think that was the moment then I realized actually I was born to do this.
You have to take a bus and a train to get to work?
For this particular library branch, yes, each way.
That's when you know you love something.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
As autistic people, we need a work environment that meets our needs. What would you say are some of the things that you look for in your work environment to meet your needs as a future librarian?
There's a few important things, and I've written about them for my. I'm studying a professional chartership in library and information science. So I've written about this. The first and the biggest one at the very top of the list is communication. I really need to have that directed at me in a clear and concise way so that I don't feel overwhelmed, but also so there's no confusion. Because unfortunately, in the past, there have been times when there's been a bit of confusion, and I like my set routines. So when my routine gets thrown off slightly, it's a little bit concerning. Also, a quiet space. If I feel or start to feel overwhelmed, I would like there to be somewhere where I could go for, say, 5 or 10 minutes and just rest my head. I find a way of calming me is just literally putting my head down on a table and just crossing my face like this. and also noise cancelling headphones. I've got my AirPods and I was wearing them at work for a little while, but unfortunately, I got a couple of complaints about my music being too loud. So when I turned my music down, it got to the point where actually I still could hear all the surrounding noises and I just could not hear the music. So it's a bit difficult. I've tried to adapt, but really, I love my music and I just need that kind of silence and inner space to myself when I'm working.
Now, I love a good podcast. So, in thinking about that, I understand you're related to the Scottish satirical and picturesque novelist Tobias Smollett. Hopefully, I got that pronunciation right. Through your mother's side of the family. Now, you've done research into the life of Tobias, writings, and ancestry with plans to release a podcast series. Has doing this research into your ancestors' life maybe changed or sort of reshaped the way you look at your own life?
That's a really good question. So you got the pronunciation right. We say Smollett or Smollett. So the relation is it was Tobias's cousin Francis. He is my five times great grandfather. So that's how we're related on my mum's side of the family. So I found this out when I was 9, and it wasn't until I was 19 I was doing a project and we could pick an author or a book to present to a class. So I chose Tobias. One thing that I have learned through doing my research about him and my own personal stuff is that we both love creative writing, but we both loved writing in epistolary. Now, I didn't realize this until I started reading more of his books when I became an adult and just seeing the similarities of our writing tastes. It was almost quite scary. I don't know how I went that long without wanting to dive into my ancestors' books. Regarding the podcast, I'm still doing a lot more research, and I feel that once I get more of it done, then I can have a set date and a plan of where I'd like to take the project. But I just think it would be really interesting. I've not seen anyone talk about Tobias in as much detail as I'm planning to go into. So I think it'd be really interesting.
Epistolary is that's related to the writing of letters, correct?
Yes, it's letters or diaries, which with my own creative writing projects, I prefer writing in a letter or diary format.
How long, like, have you kept diary? Hey, some people they've kept diaries for like 10 years, 15 years, or some really long periods of time. Like, do you keep diaries? Have you done a lot of that type of writing?
Yeah, so I started, I think my first diary was when I was about 6 or 7 years old. I have no idea what's happened to it, but it was just some random garbage about it being wet and rainy outside. I didn't really know what to write about. It wasn't until I was a teenager that it was definitely more like teenager things, what had been going on at school, crushes on guys I had, just grief I had with anybody that was being nasty to me. But yes, I still do keep diaries now. And it's definitely interesting to look back at them and see over time how much I've changed as a person. What are my feelings I've written about something 6 months later down the line, I still feel the same about whether I've changed.
I must disagree with you. I think diaries from 6 or 7 year olds are sometimes the best diaries. I don't think it's garbage at all. Beyond this podcast, how can our listeners learn more about you, Alice, and connect with you?
Okay, so I am on social media and I'm going to fire off a list. I'm on Instagram. My handle is Library Girl Alice, all one word, all lowercase. I also have a TikTok account, Alice's Book Talk, all lowercase, one word as well. I'm also a book reviewer on Goodreads under the handle Prolific Reader Alice because I read a lot. Yeah, and also for any employers or companies that want to reach out to me, I am on LinkedIn professionally under my first name and then my surname Hack. So I'm on there.
Well, Alice, it was wonderful to get to know you a little bit. Thanks so much for the conversation today.
You're very welcome, Doug.
Thanks so much to Alice for the conversation. To learn more about Alice, please check out the link in the podcast description for this episode. Here at Autism Personal Coach, our clients are the experts, our coaches are the guides. The majority of supports for autistics are not helpful. They try to fix us, not support us. That's why many are confused when we say our clients are the experts, experts of their lived experience. Our clients are the experts for what's worked for them and about the things that they need and want in their lives. Our coaches first listen to our clients and then ask thoughtful questions, offer resources, and strategize with our clients so they can get what they need to thrive. Would you want a guide in your life to coach you to get you the things you desire? If so, then visit autismpersonalcoach.com for more information. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Autism Stories, and if you did, if you could tell a friend, foe, or anyone you know about it so they could have the same enjoyable and educational experience as you when listening to Autism Stories, it would be very much appreciated. Until next time, I'm Doug Bletcher of Autism Personal Coach. Talk to you then.